Well, we may have an undiscovered culinary destination for you today. Poland. Anne Applebaum is a Pulitzer Prize-winning historian and journalist who has covered Poland and Eastern Europe since 1988. Then she was reporting on the disintegration of communist Poland. Well, Poland is now her second home, specifically in what was a wreck of an old farmhouse that her family's restored. She's lived through Poland's amazing culinary renaissance. She and her friend and fellow journalist, Danielle Crittenden, have written From a Polish Country House Kitchen, 90 Recipes for the Ultimate Comfort Food. Anne, good to have you with us. Welcome.
Thank you very much for having me.
So, Anne, how did you come to have a home in Poland?
In the 1980s, when communism was really on its last legs, my husband and his parents bought a ruined manor house. And when I married him with the ruined manor house and with the understanding that we were going to renovate it, which we did. And it took about 10 years longer than it was supposed to do. But it was a real learning experience, not only because I'd never renovated a destroyed manor house before, but because we did it in the 90s when Poland was also renovating itself. So you learned a lot about how Poland was changing while doing it.
So your husband was born and raised in Poland.
My husband was born and raised in Poland and lived there, went to high school there, left when he was 18, which is when Poland, the Polish communists declared martial law. He actually got political asylum in England and went to university in England. But he is Polish and his parents are Polish.
Now, what did communism do to Polish cuisine?
Communism did not destroy Polish cuisine, but it made Polish cuisine's life very difficult. One of the features of communism that was one of the most difficult for everybody, but particularly for people who need to cook and feed families, were shortages. It was a very inefficient economy. It was very bad at distributing things. It meant that it was very hard to get fresh vegetables. It was, unless you happened to live near somebody with a garden or if you had a garden.
Right.
It was hard to get fresh meat. It was very difficult to get hold of products, and so Polish food became by definition much. It lost many of its historical flavors and its historical variety. And this was particularly true, of course, in Polish restaurants, which were famously bad in this period. And, the other famous thing about them was they often didn't have anything that was on the menu. So you'd go in and say, you'd order something. They'd say, sorry, we haven't got that. We haven't got that. We haven't got that. And what do you have? Well, you can have a piece of fried pork with rice. And that was the stereotype. People did cook at home, and some of my fondest memories of Poland in that period. I was in Poland in the 80s, and I do remember the collapse just before the collapse of communism. That was that people nevertheless managed somehow to organize food so that they were able to welcome guests and produce really sometimes rather amazing food in their own homes, but it required effort. It required contacts. I remember that in Warsaw, all of my friends had. There was a veal lady, and all of my friends had contact with the veal lady, and she would come to your house and deliver veal. But you had to have it was a sort of black market arrangement.
You had to know.
You had to sort of know somebody in order to be able to do it. And so, but people did make those kinds of arrangements, and they did eat well in their houses.
So, I realize this is a cuisine that, unless you're in one of the parts of the country where there's a Polish community, we know nothing about Polish cuisine. What makes Polish cuisine Polish? I mean, what don't we know? And can you do that in less than an hour?
You can do it in less than an hour, although, in my view, the best thing about Polish food are the soups. And the great thing about soup, as anybody who makes soup knows, is that it's what you make on a day when you have to be at home anyway, and you don't want to sit over the stove all day, but you want to throw things in, then let it simmer for an hour, and then come back and throw in some pepper and let it simmer for another hour.
Mm-hmm.
But Polish food it has some flavors that we're not used to and that I think aren't well known in our country. Sour foods, sweet and sour foods, are a major part of the cuisine. And so sour soups, there's a famous Polish, it's kind of sour rye bread soup called żurek. Another, the summer version of that is something called chodnik, which is a cold beetroot soup that you make with either yogurt or, if you are even better, with kefir. It mixes the sweet of the beets with a little bit of the sour milk of sour yogurt or kefir.
Yeah.
And it is extremely good, and it's exactly what you want to eat on a hot day. It's very, very refreshing and at the same time light, and it's got, you know, fresh vegetables in it.
So what do you love to cook when you're in Poland?
Probably my favorite, my standby dish, and this will sound more exotic than it really is a venison stew. I make it with dates, and I make it with fennel.
Ah.
And it steams together so that you have a little bit of sweetness from the meat, you have some crunchiness from the fennel, you have it's made in it with a wine marinade as well. It's also, although this one is adjusted a little bit, it's not classic Polish cuisine. It is very common in Poland to cook meat with fruit. You very often see pork cooked with plums, or you see meat stewed with fruit, and that's a very common combination. I think people make use not only of their fruit trees in the summer, but they make use of jams and preserved fruit, and they cook that with meat very often in the winter. And venison stew is one of these things. You know, you can put it on in the morning. You can then put it in the oven, and it cooks for 2 hours. And if you happen to get distracted because you're working on a paragraph and you need to finish it, and if you leave it for an extra 20 minutes, it's okay. That's so it works perfectly with my life, and it's something everybody in my family likes to eat. When we're lucky to have friends who hunt, and so we have quite a lot of venison usually in our freezer.
And I guess if you don't have venison, you could use beef, right?
This stew is better with venison. I think beef doesn't quite – I'm not sure I would do beef with dates, but I'd have to think about that. Although venison is now – I mean, one of the conceits of this book was that I collected most of the recipes, and then I sent them to my co-author, Danielle Crittenden, who lives in Washington. And she then cooked them. And the test was, can we cook this in the United States? And are all the ingredients we need present, and can I buy them at my local supermarket? And she discovered that, yes, you could. There was quite a lot of frozen venison around in her supermarket in the middle of Washington, D.C. So if she can do it, then it can be done. So it's a wonderful meat because, of course, it's organic. And it's about as organic
exactly
as you can possibly get.
And it's lean, and it's utterly delicious. Anne, thank you so much for this.
Thank you.
Political journalist Anne Applebaum is co-author of From a Polish Country House Kitchen. Try her recipe for that iconic sour bread soup. This is definitely a one-of-a-kind dish, and it's really intriguing to make. So find sour bread soup on the website, splendidtable.org.